Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. Amen. And wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer today? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we are grateful that you have blessed us to see another day. Some of us are waking to a new day. Some of us in other parts of the world is in the evening time. Some of us are in the night. But through it all, we still give glory and honor where it's rightfully deserved, and that is unto you. Dear Lord, today we come before you and we humble ourselves this day, O God, because you are the all-wise one. You are the great creator. And no one possesses the power that you have. No one can compare with you. No one can compete with you. Dear Lord, today we just ask that once again that your spirit would accompany us as we take this journey into this lesson today. And Father, I pray that as I speak tonight, that you will once again word my mouth with your glory, that I may bring honor to your name. And dear Lord, I pray for those who are listening, that they would take this word back to you and get a witness for themselves. So Lord God, we just thank you once again for such an opportunity as this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. I am grateful today as we are doing part three of the lesson, Is God's Word Limited to a Certain Period of People? And this question being answered is based off of there are those, and I say this once again, who are claiming to even be believers, who think that God does not speak in this day and time, that God will not even speak a modern day word. They have confined God to, quote, as they say, the biblical days. They have confined God back to the days of Peter, James, John, Paul, and that say, hey, he spoke then, but he hasn't spoken today. The same God, even going back as far as the Old Testament, glory to God, many have limited him back to those days. This word I'm giving today is what is called the extra oil sent from Jesus, as mentioned in Matthew chapter 25. When he gave the illustration about the 10 virgins, and noticed that they was all virgins, which means they were pure, which means that, quote, they were saved. And the wise received what is called the extra oil, you know, into their lamps, into their vessels, rather, while the foolish rejected the extra oil. This, people, is the extra oil. Glory to God, because Jesus has been sending his angel, the Elijah, as he has mentioned, Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4, Matthew chapter 17, Acts chapter 3. And he's been sending his angel messenger, the Elijah, who is bringing his word from heaven, which is the extra oil, which is the word that comes from the Lord Jesus that is to bring all Christianity together. It is the word that is to cause all to flow together as one. And so I want to read to you once again a verse from one of the messages that Jesus sent in answering this question tonight. Is God's word limited to a certain period of people? Glory to God. And he sent this message out January the 24th, 1932. January the 24th, 1932. And I want to read to you what he said in his word. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the word of the Lord says, I am God, I change not. My laws are to all nations and to all people, and my words to all, not some, but to all generations. Therefore have I given my gospel to be preached, that people might repent and come unto me. And I am again establishing my church as in the days of old, and my kingdom shall never be destroyed. God tells us through his angelic messenger that his word is to all generations. And if you listen to part two, I define to you what generation means. Now, for those of you who are first-time listeners, I want to encourage you to go back to listen to part one and part two of this series here. And I gave you a definition, actually about three definitions of the word generation. And so the Lord said that his word is to all generations. And as I told you before, there are some who claim to be among believers who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that claims that God does not speak a modern day word today. And the Lord Jesus wanted you all to know that his word is to all generations. In fact, at first he said, I am God, I change not. So God is saying, I spoke in the days of Moses, in the days of Abraham, in the days of David, days of Malachi, in the days of my disciples. He said, I have not changed. So I'm speaking to all generations, including this generation today. Amen. And you don't have to worry about what he's speaking to contradict what he has already spoken. So you have some that believe that, well, my grandmama was into the church, so that word is for her. It wasn't for me. It was for her to do and all that. No, Jesus said his word goes to all generations, not some, but all. And I even went to name to you a couple of generations that we have given names to over in this country, such as the lost generation and the greatest generation. And I even got to one that is called the silent generation and the baby boomers. Now, when this message came out, January 24th, 1932, there will be around a generation that this country calls the silent generation. Okay, glory be to God. But through all the generations that even this country have named, God say his word goes to all of them. Okay? His word goes to all generations. not some. It doesn't mean he skipped a period or any periods, but his word goes to all generations. Glory be to God. And so tonight I want to continue on because I started off giving you this verse from the word of the Lord in part two. And we look at another witness, book of Psalms chapter 33. We look in there, connected with Luke chapter 7. Okay, the word of God, which talks about the counsel of the Lord and the thoughts of his heart going from generation to generation. And we come to understand that that's the word of God, because the word of God contains the thoughts of God. Okay. And God has shed his thoughts from generation to generation. Okay. He just didn't shed his thought with one generation and skipped the one and, or just shed it with one generation and they haven't displayed or shared it with other generations. But his word, which in his word is the thoughts of his heart, goes to all generations. Amen. Glory be to God. Because God loves all men, okay? And he wants men to know his thoughts. He wants men to know his will. And he wants men to confine to his will, okay? So God's counsel, the thoughts of his heart is found in his word, once again, which is to all generations. Glory be to God. Now, I want to look at another witness. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 51. And we're going to go to verse 8 in Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51, chapter 51 and verse 8. And see, God has been sending his angelic messenger to tell us that his word is to all generations. Okay. Now, one of the things about the messages that the Lord has sent through his angelic messenger, one thing we know, he did not send it in vain. And whenever you read the messages, one of the things you'll notice that God speaks to controversies also among his own people. He clarifies it. He clears it up. Okay. You say, well, what do you mean? For example, there are some who believe that Jesus was a prophet, and then there's some that believe he wasn't. So it has been a controversy, and in some instances, a matter of contention among his own people. So what does Jesus do? He clears it up. See, one of the things about Jesus that we fail to understand, we think that Jesus cannot settle disputes. We believe more in court systems of this world than we do in the word of God. We believe more that the court systems can settle disputes than God could. Amen. Well, you can say amen or oh me anyhow, but many of us, we do. And see, one of the things about the word of the Lord is from me reading it and studying it, one of the things I notice about God is not only do it is the extra oil that is bringing Christianity to flow together, because see, right now, Christianity is not flowing together. I don't care what Christian tells me this. Right now, we're not flowing together as one. We speak it from our mouth, but we're not actually in the act of doing it, but God is going to cause it to be. Now, having said that, I read and studied in his word that in the messages he sent, one of the things I noticed that the words that he sent, he has spoke on things that has been a dispute among his own people. Now, I'm not talking about among the world. I'm talking about among his own people. And he have cleared it up. He have clarified it. Glory be to God. And so when he said, my word goes to all generations, there is no doubt in my mind among his own people, there have been some disputes about that. Some of them perhaps maybe been saying, and I know this is be so, that, hey, God don't speak to all generations. He just speaking to that generation right there, okay? He just, his word just go to that generation. See, people got all kinds of thoughts concerning how God operate, okay? Amen. Now, in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 8, the word said, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness, now this is the Lord saying, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation, okay? Generation to generation, okay? Generation to generation. Glory to God. He said, my salvation shall be from generation to generation. See, this involves his word. Amen. This involves his word. You say, well, how do you know, Brother Nate, that this involves his word? Well, keep that in mind. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse 16. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 16. Now, once again, he said, my righteousness shall be forever. He said, and my salvation from generation to generation. Okay? And I got, as I told you before, this involves his word. Okay? It involves his word. And we're looking at, well, you say, well, how do you know it involves a word? But look at Romans 1, verse 16. It said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, okay? For it is, what is the gospel? The power of God unto salvation. So it's the power of God that leads it to salvation to everyone that believe it, okay? Did you see that? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Glory be to God. So, glory be to God. If his salvation is from generation to generation, then that means his word has to be from generation to generation. Amen? Because he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. So the direction that it leads you to is to salvation. So if he told us in Isaiah that it's salvation from generation to generation, it has to involve his word. Because his word is unto salvation. Okay? Unto deliverance, unto protection, unto healing, his word, glory be to God, from generation to generation. And he said his word goes to all generations, especially to them that believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. From generation to generation, that salvation has to involve his word. You get what I'm saying? Glory to God. And so he says to his angelic messenger that my word, first he said, I am God, I change not. Okay? My word is to all generations, okay? And when you go from the Old Testament coming on to this day and time, each generation, you know God was speaking his word. whether he was audibly speaking or speaking through someone or using someone to speak, his word was going forth to all the generations, especially to those who were supposed to be of his people. But for some reason, we have gotten off track as if God, if it's his word, did not go to all generations. Amen. You know, you have some churches said, well, we only believe the words Christ said. You say, well, what do you mean? Oh, they sound right. Well, you got to understand what they mean. For example, most of your Bibles, when it is recorded that Jesus actually says something, is written in red, right? So this is what they're talking about. So what Paul and Peter and James said, they don't believe that. Yeah, you got, I'm telling you, if you got some churches like that. Amen. You got some churches like that that say, well, we just believe the words Jesus said. That's it. And they don't believe the words that God used, Paul and all them. They don't believe it to be the word of God. Amen. And so in sending his angel messenger, once again, and I noticed about this when I was studying these messages and reading them, and it come to me, I think this was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, how that what God was talking about, one of the things he was doing was he was clearing up some disputes among Christianity. In these messages, he is speaking it so plainly, okay? It ain't in no ain't no riddle or nothing like that. Because when he sent his messenger, one of the things the messenger said, I come to speak to you in your language that you may understand. You hear what I'm saying? So God is settling these disputes. So because people don't, they want to say, well, why he got to send an angel messenger? What he got to send an angel for? We don't need a, you know, I had one sister to tell me one time, but we don't need another forerunner. I was like, well, apparently Jesus thought you do. Okay. He thought that. I mean, we can say, oh, well, we don't need all we want to, but he knows more. He know better. He know greater. And so reading the words of the Lord, one of the things I noticed that God has been doing when he had been sending his angel messenger is that he's been settling disputes. And like I gave the example earlier, there are some that believe that Jesus was a prophet. And there has been a dispute among believers, okay? It definitely have. It's been a dispute among believers. Some say it was, some say it not, okay? And it's amazing sometimes how our disputes will grow into a contention, to a argument, to a, I ain't speaking to you anymore. Okay? So what God has been doing, and it's not over yet, because remember, we have mentioned to you once before, one time, that God is going to continue to send his angel until the work is completely finished. Well, what work? The work of restitution, restoration. Okay? Amen. And so he says that I am God, I change not. My word is to all generations. So just like I read to you this message that was in 1932, well, some of you will hear that and say, oh, he was just talking to the people in that generation in 1932. No, that same word goes to this generation today. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Hola bashata. Thank you, Lord. I give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. This word goes to those who are considered a generation called Generation X. Generation X is a generation that was born between 1965 to 1980. And it has been recorded as data that said that there was a drop in birth rates following the baby boom years. And that, this is the time they're talking about from 65 to 1980. So I was born in 71. So I guess they would consider me, quote, Generation X. Well, Generation X, Y, Z, M, L, M, O, P, whatever, it, that word goes to that generation. Okay? The same word goes to the generation called the millennials. The millennials are those who are considered to be born from 1981 to 1996. Okay? Amen. They're called the millennials. You hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the same word goes to them. Because, see, that what many people, see, you got some people that look at the Bible and say, the Bible's old. He just spoke to those people back then. That word ain't for today. Wrong. Wrong. And just like that date I gave you for this 28 message, 1932, you got some people that consider the same, think the same way. Oh, that was, oh, well, if he spoke it, he was just talking to the people back in 1932 around that generation. No, that word goes to this generation today. Amen. You get what I'm saying? I pray that you do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Amen. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 34. In Daniel chapter 4. Glory. We just grateful for the written word of the Lord. Daniel chapter 4, 34. Now, I want you to hear what Nebuchadnezzar said. Okay? Glory be to God. He says, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from what? Generation to generation. Now, notice that Nebuchadnezzar says, the Most High, his kingdom, is from generation to generation. Now, some of y'all know this, and some of y'all may not know this, but there are five things that make up a kingdom, okay? One, you got to have a king. Number two, you got to have the people living there. Number three, you got to have the area, okay? Number four, you got the officers. And get this, number five, you got to have a law. Okay, so God's law is his word. Okay, you understand that? Well, if you don't, let's go to Romans chapter 8 right quick. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 7. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 7. Look what the word of God says. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Okay? Neither indeed can be. Now, the law of God here, not just dealing with, you know, people say the law, they look at the Moses, the law in Moses' days. That's one aspect, but it's not just confined to that, but it is the law today known as the word of God or the gospel. So since Nebuchadnezzar said the Most High kingdom is from generation to generation, that would also include his word, wouldn't it? Because his word is the law that makes up the kingdom. So once again, when God said his words to all generations, well, You got witnesses that support that what God had his angel to tell us, it's true. Witnesses supported from the Bible to let you know, say, hey, this is true. His word is to all generations. Amen. To all generations, not some, but to all. And see, you know, when people don't want to obey something God said, they love to come up with, oh, he wasn't talking to us, and oh, he was just talking to those people. He wasn't talking to us. And like I said, some people consider like the Bible to be old, because they say, oh, well, that was God speaking back then. Amen. Like he can't speak today. Well, you know, like I said, we got to speak the truth on this, and that's the mentality of some of the people. And so just like I read to you this date that God sent the angel, there will be many out there to say, hey, well, if he did speak that, that was for them in 1932, not for today. God's word is still valid today. That's why he said, I change not. So my word has not changed. I am my word. It has not changed. And if I spoke to each generation back in the days, he said, I do today. I have not changed. But see, you have people that make it like God has changed. You got people that teach that the God of Old Testament, the God of New Testament is two different gods. You know that. Yeah, you got people that teach that, okay? Two different gods. They teach that is two different gods. And see, this kind of teaching is going on among those that profess to be believers. So God is sending his angel messenger with the extra oil, is clearing this thing up to say, hey, my word is to all generations. It ain't to some, it's to all. Okay? Amen. When God talks about his love for man, when the Bible said God so loved the world, well, he wasn't just talking to, quote, that generation at that time when he was here on the earth. His word went to all men, all generations. His love for man. God loved mankind. He loved that which he created. Now, he hate the works that we, you know, man have done, but he loved mankind. Okay? And he said, I change not. So he said, that's why, therefore, for this reason, I have my gospel to be preached. Because my gospel has to continue to go to each generation. I'm not telling you to cut it. See, if God's word ever get cut it, that's the it, buddy. That's it. That's it. It's over with. Amen. Glory to God. Generation to generation. Amen. That's why his word going from generation to generation. And so he's been sending his angelic messenger, the Elijah, with this word. Okay? You've been sending with this word to let us know that his word is to all generations. Not some, but to all. Not skipping, but to all. And like I said, I have seen in reading the word of the Lord and studying it, and that thing really, you know, it's one of the things that, like I said, really stuck out at me is how that I read that one of the things God had been doing, the Lord Jesus, in sending his messenger is clearing up some disputes. Okay? Remember in Matthew 18, when the disciples then were sitting up there arguing about who's the greatest, they had a dispute. Did Jesus just walk away? Or did he just, did the Bible say he just stared there and looked at them and just let them talk on and dispute among themselves? No, he settled it. He settled it. And the way he settled it was so extraordinary, so brilliant. And, you know, his teaching capacity, the way he teach is so brilliant that you would never have thought he would use an example as calling a little child. they're arguing about who the greatest, and he called a little child to him. And I know most of us, including myself, if we had been in the carnal mind, we'd be sitting there looking like, wait a minute now. They want to know who the greatest. What is you doing calling a child? What a child got to do with this? But he displayed his awesomeness in teaching. And he displayed his awesomeness and settled a dispute. And so when it comes to bringing Christianity together in this day and time, one of the things he's doing is sending what is known as the extra oil, because this is what God called it in one of his messages, the extra oil. This is the extra oil that God is sending. In this extra oil, it is to settle disputes among Christianity, because that's one of the biggest things that's keeping Christianity from flowing together. It's these disputes. Hard down disputes, okay? Straight up hard down disputes. Amen. And it takes a humble heart to hear these words. I say it again. It'll take a humble heart to hear these words, because this way that Christ set up is not a glamorous way. It's not a very, quote, attractive per se to the ways of the world way. Okay? Amen. Now, let me patch a caller. I got a caller here. God bless you, caller. Who I'm speaking with?
My name is Sister Sharita. I'm just listening.
Oh, God bless you, sister. How you doing?
Fine.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, okay. Well, we'll let you listen in, sister.
Okay.
God bless. God bless our sister there. Thank God for her. Now, as I was saying, this word, this message that Christ has been sending through his angelic messenger, the Elijah, is the extra oil once again mentioned in Matthew 25 that is to cause Christianity to flow together as one. Because I'm here to tell you that there is no way Christianity as a whole, now we think we're seeing some stuff now, the coronavirus, among other stuff. We think we're seeing some stuff now. People, there is something greater than that that's going to come. And then that's not to mention the Antichrist really showing his head. And we cannot survive, I'm talking about Christianity as a whole, in the condition we are in when these things hit. Let me give you a small example. Some of y'all may get offended. I love you in the Lord, but this is the truth. Look at the coronavirus. Look how we acted. We should have been really displaying God's power. This was a perfect and opportune time to let the world see the power of God working through his people. But what happened? The government overruled. The government spoke. I mean, glory to God. The government went to saying, hey, no more than 10 of y'all assemble up in, you know, you're going to church. First of all, the government said going to church was non-essential. Do you hear that? Not important. Non-essential. Number two, the government says, if y'all do gather, you can't have no more than 10, or y'all got to be blah, 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 this and that. Well, guess what? How many of y'all went into Walmart and saw more than 10 people on one aisle? I know I did. Oh, I saw it in a bunch of places in Walmart. And this was during times where some of their shelves was empty. People were still had places full. I mean, on our jobs, just like the job I work at, when they talk about the six-foot thing, there was no way we can work and stay six feet from each other, because the kind of work we do, you got to be closer than 6 feet to get the stuff to the people, okay? You can't be no 6 feet. You got to be closer than 6 feet, okay? But see, notice that the question was, where was the believers? Well, anyhow, now, if we became shook up through that, you can imagine when this greater thing that's going to rise hit, how we will be. And see, God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is not happy with our separation. So he has been sending the word through the Elijah, mentioned in Matthew 17, Malachi 3 and 4, the messenger of the Lord, the Elijah in Malachi 4. He had been sending his word. This word is the extra oil, as mentioned in Matthew 25, to bring what? To cause Christianity to flow as one. Okay? See, this is another reason why Satan has become more bold. Okay? He had become more bold, number one, because the church, the Christianity, the body of Christ is not together as one like we should. And number two, we're scared. We're hiding scared. We're hiding. And the more we hide, the more he get bolder he gets. That's why I told some people, and I say this again, you're going to see more stronger demonic manifestations in this day and time. Because you got even some believers. When you talk to them about witchcraft, the first thing they say, well, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I said, the devil don't care if you don't believe. Well, in fact, you just help him do what he wants to do to you. You talking about, I don't believe that. Okay? There is a God, but there is also a devil. And then there is the power of God. Then there has to be the power of the devil, okay, in operation. So for some of us Christians to talk about, well, I just don't believe that stuff. You know, I don't believe. Okay, you keep hollering that. Once again, there are going to be more stronger demonic manifestations in this day and time. Watch. And some of the same people that were talking about, I don't believe that. Watch what you see. Watch what you see. You might be tearing somebody's house up with trying to get out of there, or tearing somebody's window up, because it's finna come. That manifestation, a demonic manifestation, is finna come more. Like I said, one of the reasons why, because the church is scared. We've been hiding, in other words, we've been hiding. And the devil said, oh, okay, you know, y'all hiding, hey, that just make me step out more, because I ain't got to worry about y'all exercise authority over me, you know, so I can just step out and I can become more bold. In fact, I got some of y'all Christians running, okay? Well, I'm telling you, I'm just letting you know what's going on. So the Lord said his word is to all generations. And like I said, you got some that teach and preach and say, well, no, you know, God, his word is, it was for back then, okay, and not for today. And like I told you, that's some people who claim to be believers. They just said, well, okay, God. So God sent the Elijah, and like I said, I read to you one of the verses, one of the messages, and he said, I am God, I change not. My laws are to all nations, people, and my words to all generations. Okay? So God just wasn't speaking to the generation in Abraham's time or in Moses' time and not speaking today. And like I said, you got many that think that God cannot speak a modern day word today, or that his word don't even go for people today, but it does. I don't care. Just like I read to you out of one of the messages that he sent by his angelic messenger, I gave you the date. Why did I give you date? I want you to ask God about it. And the date was what? January the 24th, 1932. So you have some people, when they hear that, they go, well, if God did speak, it probably just for them back in 1932. No. Okay. No. When he said, I am God, I change not, that wasn't just for the people back in 1932. Okay. That goes to all generations. He said that in Malachi, remember? Say, I'm God, I change not. He said it in Hebrews. Jesus Christ is saying today, yesterday, forever. So God's word go to what? To all generations. Understand that. To all generations. Not some generations, but to all generations. Now, I'm going to read one more verse to you. Coming out of the book that we have presented to you, the Word of God book, called the Record of Nephi, as mentioned in Isaiah chapter 29, Record of Nephi. And I want to read to one of the servants of the Lord, one of the men of God, named Moroni, had to say something along the same lines of what we're talking about today. And some of you say, oh, Moroni, oh, okay, you are a Mormon. No, we are Christians. We already did a series which that you can go back and listen to let you know we're not Mormons, okay? were born-again believers. We talked to you about Joseph Smith, who started off as a man of God, and he failed. He started implementing stuff that was not of God. And we let you know that Mormonism is not of God. They are not born-again believers, okay? But this thing that God used him in dealing with the translation of these plates is the time that he was humble and was used of God. When he got out of humility and got in pride, oh, my goodness, he started messing up. But I want to read to you one of these things that is said here. It said, I declare these things unto the fulfilling of the prophecies. And behold, they shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the everlasting God. And his word, who word? The word of our God, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, shall his forth from generation to generation. To God's word go to all generations, people. To all generations. So you don't need, you know, people look up in the Bible. Just like, for example, healing. You got some people that think that when Jesus spoke about healing, and even when he performed healing, and they even read about it, but they think that was just confined to that time back then. Amen. I mean, that's what some think. They think that word was confined. Oh, that was, you know, to those people then. So then when the doctor in this day and time tell them, you got a sickness and there's no cure, then all of a sudden they threw up both hands, both feet. They're getting their everything together. And what are they getting ready to do? Die. Amen. They're getting ready to die. Why? Because the doctor told them that there is no cure for this. Now, get this. This is something. I'm not talking about those who don't read the Bible. Don't come. I'm talking about these are some of the people, same people, that be in a church, reading the Bible, reading what Christ did, reading what his word said, and they look at that, and in their mind they say, yeah, you know, he may have said that, but that was, he was talking to those people that back then. Really? Okay. Well, you know, when you talk about healing, you can go back as far as even the Old Testament. God has always been for healing. Amen. He's always been for healing. You think God get a joy out of seeing you sick, seeing you in pain, seeing you scuffling along, seeing sickness having you either throwing up or can't see straight? You think God get a kick out of that? Like he's sitting up in heaven saying, oh, just look at him. Look at him. He can't even walk. Like God making fun. If anybody make a fun of you sick and get a kick out of it, it's Satan. Okay? It ain't God. So we need to clear that man up. It's not God. Okay? And so, once again, the Lord sent in his word, and one of the things he's doing is he's clearing up disputes among his people. And like I said, some of his people tell you the truth, or some of those that claiming to be of him have even that thought about healing. They read it, where Jesus healed when he walked this earth, and then they read his word, what it said about him, you know, his will to heal, and in their mind, oh, well, he said it back then, but he was talking to those folks then. Yeah. And stuff that you think among Christians that we wouldn't dispute about, we do. Now, don't get me wrong. We disagree on some things, but when I'm talking about dispute, these things is to the point where it is kept up separated. You understand what I'm saying? Kept us separated. It's just like in the home. The husband and wife may have a disagreement. Because, listen, as people, we're not going to agree on everything. But when your dispute is causing you to a point to be separated, that's going to be a problem. Okay? That's going to be a problem. And so the Lord sent in this extra oil, the Elijah, mentioned once again, Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4. And one of the things that he is doing is sending his word, which is the extra oil. One of the things now in these messages, he said, from what I read and studied, is that he is settling disputes among his people. He is settling disputes among his people. In fact, one of his messages, he said, let not the contentions of the world destroy hope. He said, he let you know in the world, they're going to be contentious. Now, it don't supposed to be among us. Amen. But that's been happening. And so God has to clear it up. Clear up the disputes. Just like he did with the disciples them in Matthew 18. Who's the greatest, Lord? And Jesus, with his brilliant teaching, calls a child. Once again, could you just imagine the look on their face when they want to know from him who the greatest, and he's calling a child? You know, could you imagine the look on their face like, man, we asking him about who the greatest. What you doing calling a child? What a child got to do with this? But see, many times we fail to teach, to see the brilliant teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God will use stuff that you are familiar with. Sometimes there's times that God, when he want to teach you something, a spiritual lesson, he will use stuff that you're familiar with to get that lesson over to you. Amen. And that's amazing. Sometimes God had me in such awe about him. I just sit there, man, you probably be looking at me, see my mouth sitting wide open. I'm like, oh, my. You know. But I'm grateful to his teaching. Amen. So much rather. I am grateful to his teaching. Amen. So much grateful to his teaching. So I am very grateful for this lesson tonight, this message tonight. Amen. That God has blessed me with strength to give. I thank God for all of you who have been praying for me. Glory be to God. Your prayers are needed. Amen. Because once again, when we come to you on this broadcast, we're not sitting at the house fiddling the thumbs. Okay. We got an enemy. His name's Satan. And one of the things he does is listen, especially when you start, you know, when me and Brother Robert, when he, and I thank God for the servant and the child of God when he was living, and when me and him did these broadcasts on some of this stuff, some of these things were deep. And many of y'all know this. And I'm here to tell you that Satan did not like it. And y'all don't know the stuff that we encounter just to keep coming to y'all each time on this broadcast. And I'm not trying to glorify the devil. I'm not trying to glorify us. I'm just letting you know, just in case anybody out there thinking, oh, man, that's all y'all do is sit at the house, think of something, and then come up with something to broadcast. No, that ain't it. And the things that me and him was reporting on and coming through the word about, there were some deep things. And there were some things that Satan did not want to be unraveled. Glory be to God. But thank God for the prayers of the people and of the saints this blessed day. So before I sign away, I'm going to turn over to my sister here. God bless you, sister. God bless you. Thank God for you, sister. And appreciate your prayers on our behalf. And sister, may God continue to bless you.
Amen. Amen. I enjoyed tonight's broadcast while you were teaching and you were telling the people about how, you know, the message is still prevalent today. And all I could hear in my mind was God say, because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. His word changes not. Just like I heard you mention that his word does not change, and his word has not changed. And it still is for the past, present, and today.
Amen. And I agree with you 100%, sister, because, you know, it is sad to say that some among believers don't believe that. You know, in case in point, I give you an example right quick. When on my job back here a few years ago, it was reported in the news that a woman, I think she was like, I don't know, her mid-50s or something like that, but she's supposed to have been pregnant and having a child. And so the discussion came up at work, and there was a remark made, oh, no, she couldn't be pregnant. Oh, they must have gave her some fertility pills. And then one brother said, and this was a brother, one brother said, well, I know God, you know, with Sarah back in the days, though, she had a child, but they were back in the biblical days. And so I looked like, what? You know, and I had to catch myself because I know that if I would have said something at that time, we would have had a little dispute there. And I looked at him, and you know, it really kind of shocked me that came from his mouth like that. I'm going to be honest with you. And when he put it that way, he said, oh, but that was back in the biblical time. And I'm like, so have God changed? I mean, I mean, somebody help me here. I mean, Sarah was 90. There wasn't no hospitals back then. There wasn't no fertility drugs. There wasn't none of that. She was 90. And from the word spoken by God to Abraham and her, that she would not be barren, but that she would have a child because she was barren at first. That was the word of the Lord. So we get in this day and time, and we have Christians who mentality towards the word is that was back in that time. And so now you made God to have changed. Amen. Hallelujah. And see, that's killing us in the faith. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree with you, sister. I agree with you a lot.
I hear a lot of people say that, and I'm like, well, don't you know the part? And I tell people, I say, well, in the word it says, just as in the days of Noah, so shall it be again. I said, so that's telling us just how the people was doing back then, they're going to be doing the same thing now.
Right. Exactly.
We still living in biblical times.
Right. And I don't see why we think that. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't get why we think that God's word was just settle back to the people back then, and it's not for us today. And so you got some people that look at the Bible and say the Bible's old. I said, well, I don't care how old you call the Bible, okay? But the word of God doesn't crumble, and it doesn't turn to dust, and it doesn't go away. I said the Bible's the written word to teach us about the living word. I said that's what that is. I said the living word ain't going to get old and crumble and turn to dust. It ain't going to do that. Okay, your book, the Bible, has the potential of doing that, amen, but not the living word, okay? The living word ain't going to do that. No, it's the same today. So I just think, sister, that that's one of the things that's hurting us as believers is that even like I said concerning healing, you got some believers that read when Christ walked the earth, he healed, and his word he said, but then they go like, well, yeah, he did that, but that was to them back then, you know. I'm like, well, okay. If that was to them back then we in trouble today. Okay, we in some serious trouble. I mean, you know, we listen to the doctor more than we listen to God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when the doctors tell you that sickness is incurable, oh, man, we packing up. We getting, the house in order. And you like, what you finna do? Well, I'm getting ready to die. You getting ready to die? Why? Because the doctor said, wow. I said,
well,
what happened to the Lord?
They ready to God. They don't trust God.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of saints don't trust God for their healing. And I always tell people, I mean, just passed recently, man of God, a couple of weeks ago, and because one of my friends was sick, and I said, well, I'm going to just encourage you. I said, well, God promised us healing, all of us. Either you be healed in this present life or you be healed in your next life, which is eternal life. I said, but he's promised us all healing. I said, we just need to just believe it. And, you know, just like he told the disciples, greater works that you shall do in his name. I said, so that means, if Jesus can go to the tomb of Lazarus and say and tell him to roll a stone away and stand there and call out Lazarus' name and Lazarus get up and come out the tomb, he raised the dead. We have that same power.
Right.
If God was to say to you, brother, go to the morgue and he'll give you a specific name, he'll tell you. He'll say, I want you to go. And there's a man named, say, Mr. John. Mr. John died two hours ago. He tell you, go to the morgue. Go tell him you're here to see Mr. John. And God tell you to stand at his feet and call him. Call his name. Say his name. And say, Mr. John, rise up in the name of Jesus. Mr. John going to rise up because God told him to call out his name and to, you know, it's a lot of people don't believe that, you know, hey, healing is available to everybody.
Yes, it is.
So it's a resurrection.
Yes, it is. And, amen. And those of us that believe, we got to keep pressing forward and giving that message. You know, we can't let that message, we can't let that message die. We got to let the people know that, hey, Jesus' word is the same. It goes to all generations. He healed a man with leprosy. He healed a man that was lame then, and he'll do it today. It ain't changed. You know, it ain't just for them. So, you know, sister, I thank God for you coming in on the broadcast tonight. Thank God for you and for all of those that have been listening. And I want to say, as I get ready to sign off, may the Lord, sister, continue to bless you and bless you in your ministry and your family in Jesus' name. Glory to the Most High God. Hallelujah. And to every one of you that are listening, may God bless you, your family, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. And now I will offer up a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that you have blessed us this day to come together and assemble in your word. We are grateful today for the presence of your spirit that you have given to every believer that have called on the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord God, this day I pray that you have worded my mouth and that my mouth have brought glory to your name. I pray that you will water the seed that I sown, that it may bring forth the increase, that you may be glorified and magnified in the eyes of the people. So, Lord God, those that have heard the word, Father, I pray that you would touch their hearts to turn to you and take what that was given to them this night to you to get a witness for themselves. So, Lord God, I give you all the glory and honor and praise and magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. God bless you, sister. Thank God for you. May God continue to keep you in Jesus' name. God bless.
God bless you.
And God bless you all that have been listening to the broadcast. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.